Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, along with Melissa Elson, and we're here to, by God's mercy, bring a little more peace your way, to your day, to your life, by focusing on things that transcend the daily ruckus that both inhabits our souls because of sin and worry and all of the things that assail us in our time. There's plenty to assail us in our time, and especially it seems for those listening in the United States of late, we're dealing with things like a hostile government and difficult political issues and a political race and all this junk, which is cyclical but seems to be escalating, can entrap our souls and draw our hearts and minds to the earth, if you will, to the lowly things, to things that really, as we allow our minds to be fixed on them, cause further anxiety and cause unrest of soul and distract us from prayer and begin to peel us away inch by inch from the most important things, the things that give us peace, the things that draw our hearts to heaven. And so that's what we're about at Divine Intimacy Radio. And we're grateful for EWTN allowing us to bring this show to you so that we can serve you, even if in a small way, to help lift your heart and mind to heaven, to find the peace that passes understanding that the Holy Spirit has promised us in Scripture, that Christ has promised us in Scripture. And so today, we're going to take a little diversion and have what I would call fun. And that is, we're just going to answer listener questions. We have a handful of questions that have come to us a number of ways. One just hit spiritualdirection.com this morning on a post. Somebody asked about prayer. And then also, I was recently had the blessed opportunity to speak at, to be the first Catholic speaker ever at a longstanding evangelical conference. And the topic I spoke on was St. Teresa's vision of prayer and how it is that prayer progresses and how you grow in ever deepening intimacy with Christ. And that was a really interesting experience, very eye-opening, very challenging, very much a blessing. But a lot of great questions came out of that conference. And we'll actually probably be posting a video of portions of it, I think, on the website at some point. But we're going to go through some of the questions that we received, and hopefully they'll match some of the questions that you all have out there about these topics. So this is where I stop talking, and Melissa.
I think these are going to be some great questions and help our listeners a lot. This first question is from SpiritualDirection.com. Yeah. It says, "Hi, Dan. I have a question about vocal prayer that I would love to hear you discuss. I pray the Office of Readings and Morning Prayer. The Office of Readings I always do alone. Morning Prayer I used to do alone, but am now sometimes joining a group after morning mass. Here's my question. Sometimes it doesn't feel prayerful. I feel like I'm just reading. I do it in the same place each morning in my little prayer nook with candles lit and my crucifix to look at, among other things. On one hand, I think that reading it is praying, and I try not to get too caught up in my feelings as I've not found them to be reliable or trustworthy. On the other hand, if there's something I can do to combat that feeling of not being totally engaged at times, I want to do it. Can you shed any light on this?"
This is a great question. You can tell that this person is pretty mature in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. And I think, if I remember, it's a she, so I apologize if it isn't. But just real quickly to set this up, when she says that she prays the Office of Readings and Morning Prayer, she's talking about the Liturgy of the Hours. The Office of Readings usually precedes morning prayer earlier in the morning, and then morning prayer is a specific psalms that are prayed, and then canticles and that sort of thing. And, of course, it's vocal prayer, meaning that it's prayer that somebody else has written, and that's why we call it vocal prayer. And she says that when she reads, she, you know, has a little nook with candles and a crucifix, which is a great idea. I have an altar. We have two altars in our home, one in my office, which is also where I pray. And I'm actually looking at that now because this is also our recording studio, and I love to actually do it here because of that reason. So right now I have a crucifix and an icon of Jesus and Mary and candles and that sort of thing. And that helps you when you get distracted in prayer. If you're a visual person, or if you use, some people use incense, whatever, it's good to occupy your senses in some ways at times to draw yourself back to the Lord. So these are very good practices that the reader is using. And then she says that she tries to not to get caught up in her feelings, but sometimes doesn't feel like she's totally engaged. And the reality is that there isn't a person alive, nor that has ever existed, maybe apart from Mary would be the exception. Jesus, of course, being fully God and fully man, and to whatever degree he limited himself in his incarnation, may have had some of this, I don't know. But as normal humans, every one of us experiences this ebb and flow of feeling connected to the Lord. So when we were doing a series on St. Teresa of Avila's letters, we remember that neat kind of example. She said that the soul is like the weather. Mm-hmm. And some days it's cloudy and stormy, and whatever that means for you. I'm a melancholic. That means some days I'm, you know, a little more edgy, sensitive-wise or whatever, or I'm blue or, you know. And some days it's shiny, and some days, you know, the wind is blowing. Some days the weather is perfect, mm-hmm. and the air is crisp, and the sun is out, and it's beautiful. And she uses that to illustrate how our souls work. And what she counsels is, recognize this is the normal pattern of the soul in our present state, in concupiscence, prior to meeting Christ face to face. And what she's trying to do there is set our expectations for what we should anticipate in prayer. So you're going to be up and down. You should realize that and just relax about it. Now, it may be true that there are things that we do. And it is true, there are things that we can do that can make prayer time more difficult or more fruitful. If for instance, we have control and we don't have small children, I always say that because Melissa has a little one right now that is trying to help his parents to heaven by keeping them awake all the time. But if we have control of when we go to bed, let's say, but we never exercise that control. And then we get up in the morning, let's say we go to bed an hour later one night than let's say our average is. What's going to happen? We're going to wake up in the morning, we're going to be tired, and we're going to feel not so connected. We're going to begin to pray, we're going to nod off, or, you know, we're not going to be fully present. That may elicit some sense of guilt, which we can talk about how to deal with. So if you can control things like that, really the people who have the most successful progress in prayer are also fairly disciplined. And St. Teresa describes this in, I think, the third or fourth mansion or beyond, I can't remember, in the interior castle, of having a reasonably well-ordered life because they can and because they choose to. As I say, there are some exceptions. Like I have another friend who has a very sick family member who requires attention at times that are totally out of control. And so during those times, you know, you just have to do with what you can. But when you can control it, if you can get to bed at the same time, get up at the exact same time. And also the other thing that can affect our heart's disposition in prayer or even receiving the Eucharist or whatever sort of devotional activity we're pursuing, is our state of grace, if you will, or do we have sin on our hearts? Do we have bitterness or unforgiveness within us? Or do we have unresolved issues? So we can be weighed down by our sin, which leads us to aridity. And aridity can be what she's describing as this absence of feeling. It can just be normal absence of feeling, you know, that with the ebb and flow. But it also could be caused by sin. And then the other cause can be God himself is trying to draw the person who's in prayer into a new kind of prayer. St. John of the Cross calls this the night of aridity. And it's an indicator that God, assuming we're not contributing to our aridity in other ways that I mentioned, it can be an indicator that if we desire God and we desire silence and we're oriented to heaven and we're advancing in the interior life, and in particular, we don't experience a lot of struggle with habitual mortal sin at all, and very little, if any, struggle with habitual venial sin, we could be in this transition period between the purgative and the illuminative way, where God is taking a kind of prayer that used to give us peace and joy and elation and all these good feelings, and he is withdrawing that sensible aspect and drawing us into what John also calls a dark contemplation, which is into a more contemplative kind of prayer that has more of a draw to our, it is concerned with a more pure love coming from us, a love that isn't coming because of what it gets or what it feels like, but a love that is giving in spite of how it feels, because there's no experiential aspect to prayer at that point. And so when you go, you get none of the highs that you received, you may have received before, or whether they were frequent or infrequent, they begin to wane or dissipate. So the aridity could be just normal, or it could be transitional, and I'd have to know more about the person to be able to diagnose it, but those are some things that you can kind of look into. If you want to really dig into learning how to diagnose this a little bit more closely, I'll be teaching a course in this year called Foundations of Prayer and Union with God. It's a 6-week course for the Avila Institute, and during that course, I will discuss all of the grades of prayer to some degree, in particular this transition period from the purgative, what does prayer look like in the purgative way, to the illuminative way, and then into the unitive way, and how it is that we can better understand this transition, mainly from the wisdom of St. John of the Cross, because he's the one that enunciated it most clearly in the spiritual writers of the church. So, great question. One last thing I just want to commend you on is, you said, the listener said, I try not to get too caught up in my feelings. And that's a great idea. That's a great disposition, because our feelings can be, you know, the human person has an infinite capacity for self-deception. So you're on the right track of not worrying too much about feelings. But, of course, they can be indicators of different ways that God's working in the soul. So did I miss anything, Melissa, in that?
I think you got it all.
I was pretty long-winded there.
No, but it was very good.
Good.
And as a word of encouragement, no matter what, keep praying, because it will always advance your soul in some to some degree, even if you're not feeling it, like you said. So
that's exact. There's probably no more important advice than what Melissa just said. And Teresa of Avila says that in the early stages of the interior castle. Never, never, never stop praying.
Right. So stay with us. We'll talk more, have more questions for you.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today. Nowadays, we seek personal enrichment in all aspects of our lives. We have personal trainers, financial advisors, professors, and attorneys, but how many of us have a guide for our souls? At spiritualdirection.com, you can find the resources to assist you in choosing the right spiritual director, read countless articles on spiritual topics, participate in a book club, and much more. Just go to www.spiritualdirection.com to find out how to boost your prayer life and grow closer to Christ.
Dan Burke back with Melissa Elson on Divine Intimacy Radio. And today we're spending all of our time together just answering questions from listeners, folks who write in at spiritualdirection.com, and questions we received from a recent conference I spoke at called One Thing. And so Melissa's going to kick off the second segment with a few more questions. What's the first one?
The first question is, can you share briefly the main ideas of how you connect with God on a daily basis, and what have you learned in your life about prayer?
Main ideas on how you connect with God on a daily basis. You know, I get up every morning at the exact same time, and I pray the same way because that discipline is really necessary to allow your body, your mind, all of your humanity to contribute to your prayer instead of hinder you in prayer. So I do that when I pray mental prayer for a period of time, which is the easiest way to explain it is vocal prayer, as we mentioned in the previous segment, is prayer that somebody else wrote, like Liturgy of the Hours or any sort of prayers that someone else wrote, even if you don't say it audibly, which is always confusing to people. So mental prayer in the morning for me, the first time of prayer is purely just not scripted. I have prayers that I've written out to kind of get me oriented, my heart oriented to the Lord in that time. But usually it's, oh God, come to my assistance, Lord, make haste to help me, glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then I don't need anything else. But there are times when I've needed a lot more to kind of fuel my prayer time. Once that's up, then I move into Liturgy of the Hours, and I have some other prayer disciplines that I do that are interspersed there, like who I offer up the prayers there. If I'm giving spiritual direction, I always offer up my prayers for them every day, or my family, my kids. But the petition part of my prayer is always in rosary. So I don't spend a lot of time in petition in the morning, but I spend most of my time, I offer it up for them. It's a very simple thing. So how I connect with God on a daily basis. So I do that. I do spiritual reading for 15 minutes after that. And all of this is timed because I have very little time to get all of this done. And then at noon, in the middle of the day, I usually go to adoration for a half hour. And during that half hour, I do the examine prayer where I look back on my morning to see how I did in accordance with my rule of life or plan of love. It's the same thing. It's a deliberate plan that I have in place that religious do the same thing and follow, where I, in my spirituality, I have commitments that are daily, monthly, and yearly, and weekly. And so I look back on that morning and ask, you know, how have I done? What's gone well? Praise the Lord for that. What did I miss that I need to catch up on after Mass? That sort of thing. When I'm done with that, the rest is just adoration and then Mass. And then I find that doing the examine in the middle of the day, which is what a lot of religious do as well, keeps my heart oriented to what is most important, my rule of life or my plan of love. The plan I have for loving and honoring God is the most important thing that I do in my life. And so I want to always every day kind of stay oriented to that plan. And frankly, if I didn't have that discipline, I mean, I don't know people who don't grow without this kind of discipline. It's hard to do. It's hard to develop. But when people do it, they grow way more than they even think you could ever imagine, usually. But then at the end of the day, I do night prayer with my wife. I do another examination of conscience that covers, you know, the time between noon Mass and, you know, let's say 8 p.m. at night. And then I pray the Liturgy of the Hours, the night prayer with my wife, usually. Sometimes we do a little spiritual reading. She's currently going through consecration to Mary, Louis de Montfort's consecration. So she read a little bit of that to me this last night. So that's, you know, I think that answered the question of the main ideas of how I connect with God on a daily basis and what have you learned in your life about prayer. What I've learned in my life about prayer is in multiple books and in courses, and we could talk forever, but Melissa, did you have a follow-up?
Well, yeah, that was great specifics on what this person is asking in a broad view, in case they're looking for that kind of answer too. What I've learned is connecting with God, you treat it like a relationship, a real relationship, and you have to go into it looking at it like that. and also looking for God in your everyday life, he'll manifest himself to you in many different ways throughout your day. Mm-hmm. If you just have your eyes open to
right.
him, you know, and your heart open to him, and you can see how he's affecting your life.
Right.
And it's really beautiful. Once you start recognizing those things, it really changes you. And also one thing I've learned about prayer over my time is that it's a real commitment. It's a commitment to God that you love him and you're going to stick with him, and it will, that new perspective on it will change your life.
Yeah.
change the way that you pray.
I'd like to add to that, because I think you've said a few things that are pretty important. The one being the little things. And we were created for relationship with him. That is our essential purpose.
Right.
Is to be in love and relationship with God. And so he wants us to be in relationship with him all the time, mm-hmm. and to receive the great graces and love that he has for us all the time. And so, as you say, you know, when you begin to pray, you also mentioned it being a discipline. So it sounds like my prayer life is very disciplined, but I want to do it. I don't do it. I mean, it is just, right? I mean, mm-hmm. God deserves everything that we have. So it is just and right that we give him all that we are. But I want to, because of what he's given for me, because my life before Christ was horrible, and my life after Christ, though a struggle like every human being struggles, has been one marked by peace and joy and constantly deepening relationship
and
with
meaning,
him.
Meaning, true meaning.
Meaning and healing, yeah, and purpose.
Right.
This is why we exist. The quote from St. Augustine of, "My heart is restless until I rest in thee." My heart was a disaster until it began to turn to the Lord. And now it's only partly restless, you know, until we get to heaven. It's not heaven yet. But when you have a disciplined prayer life too, where you're doing some of the things we described, it's also the in-between time becomes more filled with God almost by default.
Right.
So the more that you have these deliberate kind of formal times of prayer, the more it is God seems to show up in the other areas. But also there's this recognition, I think you have it, you said it, seeing God working in and through your day, seeing God working through sleeplessness or, you know, I get frustrated. I was reading a quote from St. Jose Maria Escrivá the other day, and I won't get it right, but essentially he said, if someone frustrates you, don't ask why don't they change? Ask yourself, why are you frustrated?
Mm.
So what is it in you? So every circumstance is given to us to make us holier, to allow God's grace to fill us even more, even if they're painful circumstances that he allows. It's for the purposes of our salvation. So I think that was a really important point. Something you said also before break was never stop. I don't know, as I said, that is more important than anything. No matter how many times you stumble, how many times you fall, make a commitment. And in my spirituality, in the spirituality that I follow, say it that way, when we make solemn commitments to God, meaning what I laid out for you kind of in my prayer time, which I think feeds something you said, Melissa, is when you take it seriously, I mean, it's really a commitment, you said.
Mm-hmm.
We make solemn professions before or solemn commitments before the Blessed Sacrament with a priest present and say, I am promising you, Lord, this is your time and I am going to give it to you come heaven or high water. I don't know what, you know, probably hell or high water works in this case, right? No matter how bad things get,
right.
I'm going to give this time to you. And so that's why I even use like a little kitchen timer so that I don't ever cut short from God what I've committed to giving him. And so you make that solemn commitment. You even take it to confession when you don't make it. So, and if you go to confession to a priest and you say, look, you know, I have a rule of life, instantly because they understand what that is. And they know that even though what you may be confessing isn't even a venial sin, it might be just an imperfection. They recognize you've made this commitment to God, and it's of a higher order of commitment than just, hey, I missed my prayer. And, you know, if I missed my prayer, priest might say, don't get be hard on yourself. But if you say, I have a rule of life, they're going to say, oh, okay, this is a little more serious. And yeah, you should be confessing this. And of course, you always say, I'm sorry for these and all my past sins. But great points that you added to all of that.
And one last thing I'm thinking about as you were speaking is, they say, what have you learned about in your life about prayer? And I think you touched on this too, that the sacraments are huge.
Yeah.
In making your prayer life more
foundational. Absolutely, foundational. It's like if you have a car without wheels,
yeah,
you got nothing.
You're not going anywhere.
Right.
Right. And, but also adoration. And I think I've spoken about this a lot of times, but it really changed my prayer life. So I would encourage anyone to first participate in the sacraments.
Yes.
And also try, if you can, even 10 minutes in adoration just to experience it. That's all.
And I'll even make it easier. If you can do as much as walk, if you have access to a chapel somewhere or a church to and from work, I even think walking in and just getting on your knees for a second and saying, I love you, Lord. Thank you for the graces of my life, and getting up and going out is better than not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next step would, of course, be going to adoration. And if we assume everyone who wants any kind of spiritual growth is already going to Mass at minimum every Sunday and already going to confession at minimum every month. Because those, as you point out, are the foundation upon which all of our other spiritual life is built.
Right.
That's where Christ has ordained that he will meet us in the source and summit of our faith, as the church has called
intimate
it.
Intimate way.
Right.
Mind-blowing.
And he gives us his body and his blood.
Every week.
Yeah, every week or every day.
Right.
Yeah, so this is more good advice. If you're looking to advance spiritually and you don't yet have, let's just call it even maybe a solid routine with the sacraments, you got to get that taken care of. And that could mean even just showing up early for Mass or praying a little later after Mass, that sort of thing, but orienting your hearts more to the most fundamental aspects of our faith. And guess what? We only got through
one question.
Oh, wow.
Well, two, technically, first segment.
That's right.
Second. Well, we got somewhere, though, and we'll continue answering questions next time. And until then, may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.